You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JOC has closed its doors for another day and another week, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And this evening I'm speaking to Nick Kunzer from Sunlam Private Wealth. Yeah, started off badly, got a little bit better, then got even better, and it's got even better today, Nick. The markets, that is. I mean, I'm looking at the US markets. Has it translated itself? Has it come across the water, as they say, to South Africa? How did we do?
Across the pond, I can concur. Yes, it did, actually, Lindsay. And I think your little analysis of today, I think, sums up the week, because if you cast your mind back to that torrid Monday, yeah, 5 days ago, when it looked like the world was ending, and of course, every single day we've just grinded higher. And in fact, ring the bell, the NASDAQ 100 just hit another all-time high on the open today. So,
it's a fairly
sort of solid, once again, buy the risk assets, any single dip you can buy, and it tends to be the market just grinds higher. So, yeah, we're finishing on a very solid note locally and a very solid note globally as well.
Yeah, but on the other hand, if you look at the Rand, which we'll come to in a second, the Rand is on its lows. It's been a little bit disturbing because around about 36 hours ago, it was in the low 1450s. And then the Reserve Bank decision came out yesterday, which I don't think was a huge influence. It's probably the movement in the US dollar itself against a basket of currencies. But suddenly the Rand is 1480.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, actually, you know, I had comments from a few clients, and they were saying, well, it's, you know, after the Reserve Bank and emerging markets is risk. And I'm like, no, it's not actually, because if I look at the crosses, but look at the Turkish lira today, it's unchanged. The Russian ruble is actually firmer against the dollar. So this is actually a Rand story the last 2-3 days. And it's a little bit concerning because, yes, as you said, you know, out of sort of nowhere, we're sort of moving, you know, 10, 15 cents weaker on the back of very much nothing. So I say it's quite concerning. I think it's quite sort of strong foreign selling on our end at the moment.
Yes, we shall have to look at that. What happened on the Stock Exchange News Service today? I'm just flicking through. I saw Clix came out with a voluntary update on the impact of civil unrest, the share price up around about 0.5%, City Lodge, disposal of ESA. Yeah, was there anything else apart from that that really meaningful? No.
Well, no, I mean, that's kind of been the theme. Every time I look at Sens, it's just an update on the unrest from one of the retailers or sort of one of the sort of restaurateurs, famous brands, also coming out literally 5 minutes past 5 this evening. So 2 minutes ago as well, also seemed to be an update what's going on. I saw obviously one of the biggest movers on the day, and we can touch on it a little later, is Telkom. The CEO is stepping down. I mean, he really is a sort of a rock star of the CEOs in South Africa. And I saw a comment on Twitter. Someone said, like, where's he going to from here? So I was going to post, like, what about handing the keys to the union buildings? He really is that highly respected. So yeah. So it's always interesting to see when a CEO leaves what the share price does. And I always thought it's so despondent when a CEO leaves and the share price rockets
up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thank God
But in this particular case, share price down over 4%. So he's going to be missed.
Yeah, exactly. He's obviously been poached by some other telecommunications company or some other company that is suited to his skills, and he's going to do very, very well there, and probably at 3 times the price. So good luck to him. But Telkom, it's okay. It'll survive. The share price, as you say, falling quite dramatically. Distell, trading statement, share price up on that one.
Jonas, it's a bit difficult to read too much into Distell because obviously you've got the sort of the big story, bigger than the trading update, is the Heineken bid for the company, which they remained under cautionary. But nevertheless, they seem to be trading reasonably well. I just wonder if there's not another, if they're not going to squeeze out a little bit more out of this from the likes of Heineken, or maybe there's another suitor around the corner, because this is a quality asset, quality brands. Seems a little bit optimistic. It seemed a little bit like Imperial and Dubai Ports, where using well off its highs from many years ago, and maybe it's a bit opportunistic, but we'll see. But overall, I mean, quite a solid trading update anyway.
What about Vodacom? They came out at 7:08 this morning with their trading update for the quarter ended 30th of June. And share price doing very little. It's up about 0.9% on my delayed screen. Vodacom, how do we look at it? Is it a utility now, or does it have the potential to become a growth company again?
I don't see how it can. I mean, of course, back in the days, this was your growth story, wasn't it? They used to come out with 20, 30, 40% increase in earnings every year. I wonder if these particular telecom stocks have, telecommunication stocks have not gone X sort of growth. You know, they're not, they've got to be valued in a different way. And as you said, Lindsay, maybe even looked at like a utility, but, our clever guys in Cape Town love it. I mean, they talked about the management and how they utilize their capital and all the fancy jargon. And they seem to wax lyrical about this particular share. Look, for what it's worth, Lindsay, I mean, almost 6.6% dividend yield. So, you know, if you're going to park your cash somewhere at the moment, you know, it seems, I mean, you're getting more, you're getting almost double that you're getting in the bank on your return on your capital. So, pretty good. But I just wonder if, you know, the heady days of getting 20, 30% return, you've got to think of behind you for now. And if I must comment as well, I mean, 142 high, it's at 116. So it's, you know, it's 25% off its highs and flat in the year today, I must say.
Unlike many other companies which have done so much better, maybe it's one to look at. City Lodge, and I've mentioned that one. Pepco, voluntary trading update for the 9 months ended 30th of June. The share price responding very nicely on my screen, 3.6% higher.
Yeah, Pepco's an interesting one. Seems to sort of never get the attention it deserves, I don't think. But, and obviously predominantly South Africa-based household company. I mean, obviously this was formerly Starnoff Africa. Thank goodness they changed that name. But, some of the companies under its guise are pretty good. You know, they punch a lot bigger than you think. I mean, you think of Pepco as being sort of just apparel and household appliances and retail, but they're quite big in sort of networking devices. They're quite big in software and accessories. Very, very interesting company. I think this deserves a little more attention. But overall, yeah, nice set of numbers out the back of it. But I actually think this is one to watch.
One to watch was highlighted by myself via someone in London, and that's a steel stock. I said to you, I said, look, watch out for these steel stocks because they're doing very well. But I said, don't have a look at ArcelorMittal South Africa. And that's what he said, not what I said. ArcelorMittal South Africa updated trading statement for the 6 months ended 30th of June. Updated trading statement. Share price up 10%, Nick. It's a big move. I mean, it's not such a much of a penny stock. It's now R5.60-something. It's sort of clawing its way back into favor, isn't it?
It is. But I mean, can you believe it, Lindsay? This thing was close to 20 cents, huh?
Yeah.
20 cents. I can't actually. I missed this.
It was
one
price for destruction. Yeah.
It was price for Armageddon, but you're right. But it's nice to see it coming back a little bit, but jeez, I should have taken your advice there, but I didn't look at this one.
Okay, so anyway, steel stocks, so maybe they've still got lots more to run. Any market update from Famous Brands? Share price down is down 1.1%. I don't know what you can say, really. They're at the mercy of lockdown and unlockdown, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They always seem to be one of those stocks that disappoints a little bit. They've had a couple of their own shot themselves in the foot with a few bad acquisitions, as we know, over the years.
Yeah.
Gourmet Burger being one of them out the UK. That was an absolute disaster. And I think that they've just been in a bit of a perfect storm, quite frankly. I mean, they come out of one thing and they stumble into another. But I think they're doing okay. I think what I can understand, when you speak to people on the street, they seem to be trading okay. They just need the economy to open up a little bit more now.
Okay, yes. And they've still got a very, very a blue chip portfolio of brands. If you can call Wimpy and Steers and Debonair's Pizza. Very, very good. Very good. And they must just consolidate now and stop buying everything. They used to buy everything. If you set up a stall on a street corner selling a German Bratwurst, they would have bought you 2 weeks later.
Take them under your wing. Exactly. Put you in the German portfolio corner.
Yeah. Okay, let's have a look at the spot prices before we get into trouble. 14.79 is the dollar rand. The British pound against the rand is 20.34. The euro rand is 17.94. The euro dollar, look at this, the dollar another quarter of a percent higher at 117.65. Commodities now. The gold price has just broken down through 1800 at 1799, which is down $5 an ounce. Don't worry about it. Platinum is, worry about this one though. Down $37 an ounce. Very sensitive to the US dollar. 3.44% weaker. Palladium, where's that please, Nick?
Yeah, also 2% weaker. 2667, down almost $50.
Yeah, it's not good. Oil price is just slipping away a little bit at the end of the week. $71.64, down 0.4% for the West Texas brand. And Brent crude oil is down around about a third of a percent to $73.55. Bitcoin, why does Elon Musk not keep his mouth shut about Bitcoin? Why does he say, I'm not going to take it, I might take it, I may well take it in the future, and the thing goes $2,000-$3,000 per coin at his behest? $32,403, down 0.3%, but don't forget it was well below 30,000 just a couple of days ago. What do you think the story is with Elon Musk? Do you think it's just an ego thing? He can show us that he can move markets?
I think so. I think it's just a bit of a game, really. He's at one stage the richest man in the world. You know, whether it give or take $1,000 Bitcoin up and down, it's not about the money for him. I think it's literally about sort of pulling the strings and showing you can do it, I think.
Okay, the CRB commodity index, it's only reconstituted once a day, as I've said so many times, but it's at a multi-year high, just below 230 on an index basis. So well done there. How are the US markets looking? I think they're looking rather good, aren't they, compared to where they were on Monday?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I mean, I've been debating, like, things are looking a little bit risky, or they're looking a little bit toppy, and then I was doing some technical research this afternoon, and I actually came to the conclusion that, I mean, this US market could break out. I mean, it could push even higher. Uh-huh. The only thing holding it back, of course, is it's not cheap. You know, under any single metrics, this market is very, very expensive. But it's certainly until something derails it. You know, if you look at the price action this week, Lindsay, you know, Monday looked like it was rolling over, but I mean, in three trading sessions later, straight back up to all-time highs. Just feels like there's a lot of money sloshing around the system at every opportunity, you know, they're going to buy it. And of course, you know, against the backdrop of real interest rates in America, which are now negative. So, I mean, where do you put your cash? That is the problem. You know, they've created this monster. Look, next week's going to be very interesting. You've got the Federal Reserve's two-day meeting, FOMC, kicking off on Tuesday and Wednesday. And it is what they call a live meeting afterwards, as you know. So there's going to be comments and I think more and more questions about inflation going to come out. You know, when are they going to reduce their bond purchases? They continue to purchase $120 billion of bonds every single month. They've got to stop. I mean, the US, at $8.2 trillion, their balance sheet as of last week. Their balance sheet is got bigger than, I think, the last century combined. Some ridiculous numbers I'm reading of how much, I don't know how they stop this, but they've got to stop it at some point.
How do they get rid of that? I mean, do they just cancel it? Do they just sort of disinfect it and get rid of it? Or do they have to sell it into the market again?
No, they own it. They own it on their balance sheet. They own the bonds. They can't just cancel it. You can't just write it off. At some point, they've got to stop their bond purchase. They're sitting now with $8 trillion, which is about 40% of U.S. debt to GDP. They own almost 40% of the GDP of America in bonds. At some point, they're going to have to sell. I don't know how they do it. They just got to hope the economy continues to bounce back firmly and they can bleed it in. But if the bond market is telling you, hey, I get this real funny feeling when there's sort of this tail wagging the dog scenario. Every single time the Fed looks like inflation's coming or they want to taper, you know, the market all of a sudden pushes the bond yields back down to where they are now, 1.3. I don't know. I'm not sure how they exit. But I mean, the ECB is exactly the same. Bank of Japan's been doing it for, you know, two decades. I don't know.
I don't know how they do it. Anyway, 1.301 precisely for the US 10-year Treasury yield. The South African yield, I haven't got it, so I'm not going to tell you about it. Let's have a look at the top five major moves on the upside and the downside on the JSE on this final trading day of the week. CUP up 4%. Pepco up 3.6% after its numbers. Richemont doing very well indeed, up 3%. Bytes up 2.8%. On the downside, Telkom, I've got a 3% loser. Naspers down nearly 2%. Process down 1.75%. Goldfields down 1.33%. And Harmony down 1.3%. Any other shares outside of those, Nick?
Well, just commenting on those gold shares, I mean, shame that they're very sensitive to dollar at the moment. We continue to get dollar strength. We had some ICM manufacturing numbers out, which got the sort of dollar sort of flying a little bit at the moment. But outside the usual suspects, no, not really. As you've mentioned, most of them in Pepcorn Cup and, you know, a couple of property shares on the back on the leaderboard. I'm not sure if that's Bruce Abondiels or behaving themselves a little bit. But overall, it's a, if I can summarize today's price action, and it just seems to be a bit of a, sort of a damp finish too. But otherwise, you know, solid week. When we finished the week well off the lows, you wouldn't have said that on Monday afternoon.
No, you wouldn't, with the, all-share top 40 at one stage down over 3%. Nick, Give us really, really, really big moves, but on very, very low volume. We'll come to that in a second while you give us the closing JSE indices and the live Wall Street markets, please.
Okay, so finishing up, we have all-time highs on the Nasdaq Composite. We are sitting up 0.5%. We are now above the big handle, as they call it. You asked me what that was the other day. It's the price number. It's an old Chicago term from the floor, like what's the handle. Don't know where it stems from. I must actually do a bit of homework. But anyway, that we are now at the big number of 15,000. So 15,020 on the Nasdaq front month future, first time ever in history. On the S&P 500, we're not far off the all-time high as well, 4391, almost about to break 4400. That's up 0.73%. And the Dow Jones Industrial is also hitting near the big number. We've got some big numbers here. It is now 50 points away from 35,000. Can you believe it? They're going to be printing those caps for the floor. You know those caps, Dow 20,000? Well, now we're going to start print Dow 35,000. I actually can't believe some of these numbers. Europe Stoxx 600 has just hit an all-time high as we speak of 461, up 1.1%. So it really seems to be a broad-based global push higher this afternoon. Closer to home, Nick's not moaning about it. It's a nice solid finish, which would have been a terrible start to the week. Well, it's all a bad dream because we finished today at 68,063, up another 1%, 0.98% firmer on the JSE All Share. Top 40 companies index. I'm just trying to look at my screens. We must be pretty near an all-time high, Lindsay. We've got to be pretty close. I see we just shy of an all-time high on the JSE. The all-time high looks like 68,200, so we're not far away. Top 40 companies index, a solid percent higher, 61,932, led higher by utilities, up 4.41%, consumer cyclicals, 2.5% winner. Energy shares up 1.71%, healthcare had a good day as well, 1.36%, basic materials, 1.35% firm, industrials, 1.1%, and so on. The only lag we've got is tech shares today, down 1.35%. That was off a bit of a tough start for Tencent in Hong Kong. But overall, value traded, 16.64 billion.
That's five in a row, isn't it? Below 17.
So I'm just looking at my notes I made. So I've only got the last 3 days. So Wednesday we did 16.7. Thursday we did 15.7. And today we've done 16.64. So very, very low volumes as you push higher. As you push higher on lower, lower volumes, it's not an encouraging sign for the bears will enjoy that stat.
Yes, I will. Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. Nick will be back with me on Monday evening for the 5 o'clock shadow again. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.